We, the citizens of the city of Billings, for the purpose of establishing a just form of fundamental law, one that is responsible to the public for providing equal and adequate services and protections with efficient use of the community's revenue for all, one that provides for self-governing powers with respect to health, safety, and welfare of every citizen, and one that utilizes the utmost flexibility to plan for the future, do establish this charter for the City of Billings of the State of Montana. The Friday Packet with Stocky and Stout.
I hate roofing so much.
The allure of it when it comes around.
Yeah.
All right, today, what is today? Today is Wednesday, July 18th, 2008. 18.
I don't like to finish your sentences, Stocky.
Is 18? Did I say 8?
Yep.
Oh, Jesus.
That's okay.
I've been in the sun too long today, apparently.
Yeah, get out of there.
Wednesday, July 18th, 2018. So it's 18-18. 7-18-18. If you're keeping score at home. And if you are.
If you drew those numbers, you win a prize.
Yep. It's like the movie 23. With Jim Carrey in it. Haven't seen it?
No.
Hey, it's really weird.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Today on the old packet.
Yeah.
We're going to take a big old dump on you. What kind of dump are we going to take? It's a TIF dump.
Yep. It's a blight dump.
You ever wondered what a TIF is?
Yeah.
How many of them are there in the city of Billings?
First 3 years I worked at downtown Billings, I wondered what a TIF was.
Yep. Well, this is the episode for you.
Well, I'm excited, Stucky. Yeah. Are you?
So I think we should start out with the definition. You want the definition?
I would love it.
The TIF definition, in case you didn't know, TIF stands for Tax Increment Finance. Is a public financing method that is used as a subsidy for redevelopment, infrastructure, and other community improvement projects in many countries, including the United States.
Oh, us too, huh?
Yep.
Oh, burp.
Through the use of TIF, municipalities typically divert future property tax revenue increases from a defined area or district towards an economic development project or public improvement project in the community. TIF subsidies are not appropriated directly from a city's budget, but the city incurs loss through foregone tax revenue. And all 50 states in the United States have authorized TIF funding. Currently, there are three districts in Billings, the downtown, the South Billings Boulevard Urban Renewal District, and the East Billings Urban Renewal District.
Yes,
so
sir.
So there you go. There's the definition of TIF. So, in layman's terms, how would you define a TIF in your mind?
Oh man, layman's terms. Mm-hmm. Those are among
for the average Joe
type.
Six pack, if
hey,
you will.
Hey, have you seen my abs?
I have.
Oh,
it's more like a 30 rack, if you ask me.
Yes, so much definition. Okay, so my six pack definition. I'm going to say that from now on when I explain something.
I'll tell you what.
Here's my six-pack definition.
You know what?
If an area has declining property values, and it has to be a certain kind of area, a businessy area, or include some businessy areas.
Okay.
If it has declining property values and meets the definition of blight, which I hope to address soon.
Soon.
A little later in...
Soon.
I can feel it coming in here tonight.
No, do 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 do.
God damn it! I hate that song so much.
Yep, you should. And Phil Collins.
That's why I hate that song. Mm-hmm. The you can designate it as a TIF district, and the tax money collected when it's designated will still go to the state. And any increase in tax.
Man. If we're going to do a six-pack, there's got to be something burping.
Absolutely.
No. Sorry.
The
continue.
The any increase in the tax revenue assessed in that area will be kept to be reinvested within that area.
Correct.
So
so basically, your property taxes are frozen at the point of establishment of the TIF.
Yeah, as far as the state's concerned.
As far as the state's concerned.
So anything that you collect above that, you get to keep and reinvest in infrastructure, public good kind of stuff, which can be argued to include a whole lot of things. But such legally, well, like sidewalk or gutter work.
Curb and gutter.
Yeah.
Street lights.
Sewer, street lights, landscaping.
Landscaping.
But you can also use it.
Landscaping.
Yeah. That's nice too. You can also use it to, like, if you buy an old building that's been empty forever and you want to update it, you can. Oh, shit. Sorry. Oh, geez. You can use the money to. Sometimes you can, like, use it for sprinkler systems in it or to update it to ADA standards. Make it so that it is
so habitable. ADA, Americans with Disabilities. So it doesn't have a ramp or any sort of handicap accessible bathrooms or
elevator or
you name it.
Yeah, exactly. So you're just making it so it's a better asset for the community. Even if it's privately owned, it when it becomes worth more money to the community. It's worth more to the community. That's makes a sense. Really stupid way to say that.
It really makes sense.
But it's it can be applied to a whole bunch of stuff. And the it, you know, has to serve the common good, basically. But it's making a building worth more so it pays a hell of a lot more property tax is helps the common good.
And another thing is just maybe updating the infrastructure so you do attract those other businesses into the area as well.
Yeah.
As one of the TIF things. So to qualify for a TIF, or not qualify, to maybe establish a TIF, it has to be, not run down, but there has to be a certain type of blight.
Yeah.
And blight in the TIF definition would be...
Blighted area means an area that is conducive to ill health, transmission of disease, infant mortality, juvenile delinquency, and crime, substantially impairs or arrests the sound growth of the city or its environs, retards the provision of housing accommodations, or constitutes an economic or social liability, or is detrimental or constitutes a menace to the public health, safety, welfare, and morals in its present condition and use by reason of... the substantial physical dilapidation, deterioration, defective construction material and arrangement, or age obsolescence of buildings, improvements, whether residential or non-residential.
Alrighty,
is that how I'd explain it?
Yep.
That's what I'd say.
In layman's terms.
Yeah. And it's basically, it's like, if there's some rundown shit, if there's a certain percentage of the places that are, like, vacant or uninhabitable... or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Easy enough.
Yeah.
There's
this makes it, well, not easier, but it spurs more growth in an area that could potentially, once it's redeveloped and there's more people in that area, the tax base grows and the city stands to gain more in the future is kind of what I'm gathering from everything.
And there are, like, specific things. Like, for instance, on this that I'm reading from somewhere.
Go.com.
Yeah, there it is.
Gotcha.
It's Angel Fire.
AskJeeves.com.
Tax valuations on 70% of the properties have decreased over the past 10 years, while valuations of the adjacent neighborhoods within URD3 have generally increased or remained static. So basically, if the property values are going down and around it, they're still going up, that's a really heavy sign of blight.
Right.
And this is what I'm reading out of is a document that they used in Missoula to just make their definition of blight a little bit more specific.
Okay.
But the stuff that I've been reading is kind of part of the Montana code annotated.
Gotcha. So we got that established. There are three districts, like I've said, in Billings. Let's start with the downtown one. You would probably know best.
Oh, man.
As far as I know, it was created in... it's been going since, what, 1979 is what I ran across? In some shape or form. It never was called like a TIF, but this current one was created in 2008. It was re-upped, what, in 2016? 14? One of the two?
I think 15, 14. It sunsets in 2038.
Okay.
So that's 2008 because there are 30, you can do a 30 year term on a TIF.
Okay. It's like a mortgage.
Yeah.
If you will.
And I think you can do a shorter one too, but I've never looked into that.
All right. So the current iteration of the downtown one was created in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent since 2008, $15.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we name building improvements, infrastructure improvements, in the area. Some of the key projects down there would be, you know, your Northern Hotel, the new, Stockman Bank building, mm-hmm. And the, Babcock, theater overhaul,
yeah,
just to name a few.
There's, I believe, I hope I'm not mistaken on this. I think some TIF dollars went to that, parking garage, the new one.
The Empire one?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Empire one is the big one on Montana and 27th.
Yeah.
So it's got Wild Ginger and a real estate company in the bottom and a barber.
Barbier. Something,
yeah.
I think. I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, first Montana title.
First, yep.
Yeah.
That one right there. That's mm-hmm. that's part of the downtown TIF.
Yep.
The second one would be the South Billings Boulevard Urban Renewal District.
Yeah.
So that would be... So it follows that weird, if you go down to maybe the Muzzleloader and Laurel Road, makes that weird dive up to State. Mm-hmm. Anything sort of south of that is the South Billings Boulevard Urban Renewal District. That one was created in 2009. They've spent $11 million in infrastructure and $528,000 to date in incentives.
Mm-hmm.
And most of their projects have been Newman Lane, Calhoun Lane, Orchard, and that's sewer pipe connections for up to 200 properties, they said. So, you know, updating the infrastructure is their sort of key down there, you know, making sidewalks, curbs, and gutters. Hooking people up to sewers, obviously. I thought it was kind of interesting to note that they have $6 million in their fund balance for fiscal year 2018.
Really?
So they got a lot of money in the bank.
That's quite a bit.
They're ready.
Yeah. And all this information is apparently, it should be public.
And it is. If you want the South Billings, if you want the downtown one, that's, DBA. You go to dba.com and you can find a link.
Yeah, downtownbillings.com.
Yep. The South Billings one is southbillings.org. And their group, from what I gathered, I think all these TIF districts are ran by like a 5-member board, right?
or downtown,
is it specific to each one?
They are all run by a board. I think it's specific to each one. Downtown, the partnership board is way more than 5 people.
Okay.
It's like 13 or something.
My God.
Yeah.
So it's got to be an odd number just in case of a...
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Oh, what have you.
That's very important.
South Billings meets the first Tuesday of every month at the Billings Sportsplex, 7 to 8 p.m., if you were interested. So that would be 2 weeks ago.
Something like that.
Yep. What date does the downtown one meet? Do you know?
Oh, they move them around, but it's like, I can look it up. I'll just look it up on my...
on your computer. Yeah. Well, I'll move on to the East Billings Urban Renewal District, which is the Metro West to about 27th, or is it go?
Yeah, give or take.
So, give or take, right in there.
Mm-hmm.
They spent $2.3 million, and they've got a lot of private investment in that area right now, which is $59.5 million.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Some of the stuff they've done in the past is the First Interstate Operations Center, the Mink Car Wash. I believe the Billings Food Bank was part of that. Mm-hmm. And the Department of Interior built a nice, giant, unappealing rectangle right in the middle of the city with no appeal at all. With just a bunch of windows. It looks like it looks like the Borg landed and just sort of set up shop. And,
absolutely.
You know, they come back whenever they want to.
It says assimilate or die when you cruise by.
It does. Resistance is futile as well. That'll be your Borg reference for the episode.
That's pretty good. I'll take it.
It's also known as the Billings Industrial Revitalization District as well. Am I wrong in that?
Yeah. The
Or is those two separate ones?
Well.
Or are there two?
The eBird.
The eBird is, they're all one and the same.
Overlays it, yeah, basically. Okay. And that's the East End TIF. Doesn't make, I think it only makes it to like 20th, if I remember correctly. Because you can't, you certainly can't overlap any of them.
Most of these are 501c6, which you'll get a definition probably right here.
Section 501c6 of the Internal Revenue Code provides for the exemption of businesses, leagues, chambers of commerce, real estate boards, boards of trade and professional football leagues, which are not organized for profit, and no part of the net earnings of which ensures to the benefit of any private shareholder or individual.
An organization that otherwise qualifies for exemption under the Internal Revenue Code Section 501c6 will not be disqualified merely because it engages in some political activity. In addition, the organization may engage in lobbying that is germane to accomplishing its exempt purpose without jeopardizing its exemption.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
However, if the organization engages in political and/or lobbying activities, it may need to give members notice of dues used for such activities or be subject to a proxy tax on the amount of the expenditures.
Come on, yeah!
A business league is an association of persons having some common business interest, the purpose of which is to promote such common interest and not to engage in a regular business of a kind ordinarily carried by, for, on, for, not, on, for profit.
You gotta leave that one in. That one's awesome.
Come on, yeah!
Trade associations and professional associations are business leagues. To be exempt, a business league's activities must be devoted to improving business conditions of one or more lines of business as distinguished from performing particular service for individual persons. No part of a business league's net earnings may inure to the benefit of any private shareholder or individual, and it may not be organized for profit to engage in an activity ordinarily carried on for profit, even if the business is operated on a cooperative basis and produces only enough income to be self-sustaining.
The term line of business generally refers to either an entire industry or to all components of an industry within a geographic area. It does not include a group composed of businesses that markets a particular brand within an industry. Chambers of commerce and boards of trade are organizations of the same general type as business leagues. They direct their efforts at promoting the common economic interest of all commercial enterprises in a trade or community. However, I read that completely wrong.
So that's what that means.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow. Cool. That's amazing.
Like it.
I like it when they do that in the episodes.
I think the partnership meets on the third Wednesday of every month.
This is the DBA or the downtown?
Yeah, the Downtown Billings Partnership is the managing entity of the Downtown Billings TIF.
And I listen to a few podcasts on TIF. Well, I do quite a bit, but and a lot of these, so I listened to one, it was For the People. It's a Connecticut, like YPR basically. And what they're trying to achieve with these TIFs is obviously retain a lot of workforce, which sort of rings true for Billings. Keep younger force in, you know, younger workforce in town. Give them, quote, hip places to live, you know, where they want to be, if you will.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, none of them want to go to, you know, Costco all day, then hit the Olive Garden,
God, and then so great,
go home.
It?
Apparently, they want some sort of entertainment or something really interesting.
Yeah. Or like good food.
Or good food, yeah. But one of the examples they gave was Asheville, North Carolina. And they gave two examples. So per acre taxes, so property taxes, they compared Walmart to downtown in Asheville, North Carolina. And per acre, Walmart was paying $6,500 in taxes. Per acre downtown, what do you think that number was?
Per acre.
Yeah.
So I've done these calculations about our town.
Mm-hmm.
It's real fun.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that their downtown was paying six times.
$365,000 per
nice.
Acre downtown.
Nice.
That's just density.
Mm-hmm.
And the jobs per acre, I don't know how you even freaking get there. But jobs per acre, you know, like in a Walmart area. So your big box stores, your Home Depot, Lowe's, that area is, you know, 5.9 jobs per acre. So six jobs per acre. And then they went down to Asheville and downtown, and it's 73.7 jobs per acre. It just makes sense because mm-hmm. this is so dense.
Yeah.
The infrastructure is kind of there. It's dilapidated, but it just makes sense to go the density route.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Absolutely. okay. I'm going to guess at this shit because I should have it memorized. But I did the comparison, the same comparison with Shields mm-hmm. and the Montana Power Building. And I think it was 9.5 times Montana Power Building per square foot that Shields pays.
So the Montana Power Building has the brewing company.
Yeah.
In the basement there, brew pub.
And some offices and an apartment.
Yep.
Or two.
So that sort of, it kind of gets to the heart of the matter of a TIF. What do you see in the future happening as people move away from the big box store economy, I guess you could say? A lot of people just stay at home and order off Amazon and have the, you know, stuff come to them.
Yeah.
And you've got these giant campuses basically on the outskirts of your town. What is to become of them exactly?
Mm.
So I think the density method, the focus on downtown and cool and unique different areas is necessary for the vitality of your city going into the future.
I agree. That Asheville stuff, that's a place... I think they're downtown association, if I remember correctly. A fellow named Joe Minicozzi does that, and he cruises around the country and does that comparison stuff for different cities.
Mm-hmm.
And he did come to Billings about 5 years ago and made heat maps of tax revenue. And the vast majority of it comes from the downtown area mm-hmm. for the city of Billings. And the vast majority of it is spent on the... I don't know, what would you say, fringe areas of Billings,
mm-hmm.
connecting infrastructure, water, sewer, roads.
Mm-hmm.
It's all downtown pays for the rest of the town, basically,
mm-hmm.
is what happens there.
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting, even with the TIF, I mean, with people going to Amazon Prime and having just basically everything delivered to them, are they going to ever want to leave their house again? And to me, you got to make an interesting space. You can't just put a giant cube and expect people to show up.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
The the novelty is certainly worn off for me about Costco.
Yeah.
God, I hate that place.
That was just recently. Well, it's fine in Billings, but I was just recently the one in West Seattle. I don't know, 2 weeks ago. And I, you know, almost had a panic attack just trying to get gas for a car. Because apparently there was some sort of weird, I don't know, order in which you're supposed to get gasoline in West Seattle. And it's just chaos. And a lot of people screaming at each other.
That's a shitty order.
Yeah, it really was. but, and as synonymous as Billings is to be kind of behind the national curve.
Yeah.
I think is kind of vital that we do focus in on these areas at the core of the city where we can get the most bang for our buck, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes sense.
The infrastructure's already there. The density's there. And, you know, you don't assess a huge parking lot as much as you do an improved structure. So Wally World doesn't pay really, honestly, shit for property taxes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the brew pub uses city streets as the parking lot, which is, you know, it's a challenge, but.
Yep. And one of the, I guess, the naysayers of TIF districts is that they favor big developers and they don't really address the core problem of the districts themselves, why they became blighted. You start delving into like segregation and that realm.
Yeah.
And downtown, in your opinion, has it become more affordable? Is there properties down there that are affordable, say, for someone living, you know, on a minimum wage job?
There's a decent mix down there. I think that there are, it used to be nothing but low income housing down there. Mm-hmm. And now there are, you know, third floor condos that sell for $375,000 to $500,000 down there. Right. Mm-hmm. But there's still a hell of a lot of $700 a month apartments.
Right. Like some rent controlled housing.
Yeah. Section 8. Not nearly enough.
No. There's still quite the waiting list.
Yeah. 7 years?
Yeah.
Is what I heard.
Yep. Probably. And the property owner has the right to say no.
Yeah.
As well. On top of that.
That's nice. But yeah, I mean, I think it's the property values are increasing downtown, notably. But, you know, that wasn't the case when the downtown TIF was created
right.
at all. And there were a lot of vacant or just underutilized buildings. And you only have to, like, look at Butte to see what it could look like, you know, if no money gets put into any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And in a state without a sales tax, that's our only redevelopment tool is TIF funding.
Right.
Because we don't get shit back for anything.
Makes sense.
I mean, and you know, sales tax is kind of a dirty word.
Really is. What about local option tax? How does that make you feel?
You know, I don't know how I feel about actually having a sales tax all the way across the board, but I certainly think a local option would do no harm.
Right. Would it be like a resort tax like Red Lodge does? You'd think along those lines?
Sure. And you can tax a certain thing. And one of the ideas for the local option tax recently was like, it has to be for a specific project and it has to have a beginning and end date. Mm-hmm. And it has to be on a certain good or service that, you know, okay, well, we're going to have a 1% sales tax on beer for 3 years to... I'm sorry I said that. Let's rewind.
Eric?
Yeah. 1% sales tax on church. For 3 years to fund a sober housing. Whatever. I don't know. But I'm down. It just sucks that the legislature won't even let us try it.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell's the problem with letting us try it?
Slippery slope, man. It's just a slippery... I don't know. I'm just making shit up now.
But that's exactly what I heard every time I was at the legislature talking about this. They're like, well, you know, they start that tax. They're never going to take it away.
Yeah, but you're just... What are you going to tax next? My you know, tax my New Balances when I buy them?
I love my Air Monarchs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a It's a good tool.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Yeah, no, it needs the flexibility. It seems to work. Another one of the criticisms is it doesn't include everybody. You know, at least to broader discretions, like if you're going to start talking about gentrification, you know, pushing people out of their homes that they've been in there forever.
Yeah.
Because you come in and you update all these buildings and, you know, there's an artisanal kombucha shop next to a whatever, and you've been living there forever, and all of a sudden your rent triples.
Yeah.
And you're forced out of there. That's just one of the things they also have to address.
Yeah, that's a son of a bitch, man.
I think one of the ones I listened to today was This American Life. It was in, where was it, in New York? Wasn't Hoboken, wasn't Brooklyn, wasn't Queens.
Somewhere.
It was a borough. It was becoming highly gentrified, but this lady from Canada came in and she opened up this bar.
Oh yeah.
And where they had tied down the refrigerator, like a hole in the side of the wall. she claimed
holes.
It was a bullet hole. It was Tribeca. Was it Tribeca?
I think it might have been.
But she said it was a bullet hole from the neighborhood's unfortunate, you know, crime history or past.
The illegal gun shop.
Right. Exactly. Some bullshit like that.
Just capitalize on the pain.
Yeah. But what she did was she did not put a good face on it. And so she sort of stepped back and had somebody from the neighborhood who'd been involved with bars and restaurants down there take over kind of the kitchen and become the face of the restaurant without necessarily addressing the entire issue of what she was saying and what is happening to that neighborhood. So,
you know, you can leverage TIF dollars on a new development like One Big Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Say, okay, we will give you your little bit of money only if you include a low income element into your development. So there you go. Yeah. I mean, that's easy enough.
Bingo. Solved it.
There we go.
Yep.
That was really easy.
I think it was.
We should solve more shit, man.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've had so much candy. Big Sour Patch Kids, Gushers.
Yeah.
What are those salted caramel fudge nasties?
They are salted caramel. Oh. Fudge artificially flavored cookies.
Mm. Just need to rinse my mouth out with some Mountain Dew or something. It's too sweet in there.
Yeah.
Have you listened to Urbanism Speakeasy?
No, I have not.
It's an interesting podcast.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's kind of this type of shit that we're discussing right now. But, I mean, you can talk to developers.
Right.
Like the Nelson brothers who did the Northern Hotel. And they will say, I wouldn't have been as interested in doing this if I didn't have this kind of stuff available to me to take it that extra step to make it extra good and make it extra appealing to me. I would have maybe looked for somewhere else to spend this money.
Makes sense.
Or Bill Honecker, who, you know, he's redone the building that Walker's is in now.
Mm-hmm.
And he and a few partners redid the building that Wendy's used to be in. And it's done, and it's great. It's beautiful there. And all kinds of shit like that. And just incentivizing these developer-type guys, making it an easier decision for them to spend the money in the middle of your own town.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a pretty good idea to me.
I don't know. But then you're getting to the developer, you know, mindset. They need to get a return on their investment.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily thinking a character of a neighborhood. They're just it seems like there's a bunch of, I don't want to call them like leeches, but there's like leeches that latch onto this system and they're from out of state or they have no fucking interest in your city or your town or your development and come in with, you know, whatever sort of money and feel like they know what you need.
Yeah, they just want to turn $10 into $20.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
I like where it's going. I like where eBird is. I like the infrastructure updates in the eBird. I like the South Ebert with the updates on Calhoun and Orchard, with the sewer connections, with all the people that are already established there. Downtown is just great, honestly. I love going downtown to eat.
I'm happy to
drink a beer.
Hell yeah.
You know, hang out downtown, go see a show at the pub station. It's absolutely wonderful.
Buy a shitload of records afterward and stagger home with AJ.
Yep, like you do.
Yeah.
Stop buying records, AJ.
I promised him we would bring up his record buying.
Did you know, AJ?
Here's the deal.
Here's the deal with AJ. What's the deal with AJ? I don't know. This whole looking into TIFFs just got me on a wormhole. Not a wormhole, but a, you know, like a fact-finding mission of... Because you can't just have that discussion where it just ends with, well, TIFFs are great, that's it. Or TIFFs are bad, that's boring.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Phone's ringing, dude. It just brings up a broader discussion of pressing social matters.
Yeah, it really does. I agree.
I mean...
It's a big...
The phone's still ringing, dude.
I know. Oh, I can't reach it to shut it up, so I'm just
gonna... It's a hot spot.
Run out the clock. That rings a long time.
Sure does.
Just over there buzzing.
Apple is a high quality vibrating phone.
They are. That's true.
So, along those lines, if you're looking for something to read or listen to, Ta-Nehisi Coates is on Being with Trista Tippett. That's a good one. He does New York Public Library, where he speaks for a while. He's got a podcast there. And if you wanted to read something, A Case for Reparations is a gut check, if you will. It's a must read, honestly, in my opinion.
All right. Well, I have my marching orders, I guess.
Get on it.
The city council's doing...
What did happen this week? It was a work session.
Yeah.
I know I wasn't on the Community 7. I did not go down because I was working.
I did not pay.
I've been slacking lately.
Any attention. Yeah, I know.
You want to go to the City Link, see what's going on there?
All right. Sounds good. The city council was considering a couple weeks ago...
that's a good cookie.
Yeah, is it?
It is.
Okay, good.
No, it's not.
they were talking about making some city codes for how TIFFs can be run.
Right.
So they're going to ensure just small things now that it has to be a 1-5% or $1 to $5 investment.
For every dollar investment in private, they have to get it. A certain amount back?
Five private dollars to every one TIFF dollar.
Okay.
Basically. So if you've got a $500,000 project, you're going to... Well, how about I go with six, because that'll make the math a lot easier.
Yeah.
If you've got a $600,000 project going, Stocky, you're going to have to... You can only apply for $100,000 of it. If it even qualifies for TIFF funding, which, you know, it's got to be public good, kind of shit. Mm-hmm. TIFF funding won't buy you a new car.
Well, what kind of new car?
I don't know, any?
I don't know what new cars go for anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's going on? So they're still looking for a city administrator. That's still happening.
Okay.
There is a subcommittee made up of Mayor Cole, council members Larry Brewster, Richard Clark, Mike Yakovich, Reg Gibbs, and Denise Joy.
Okay.
They've met a number of times, and they're looking for a new city administrator to replace Tina Volek, who retired at the end of September after nearly 13 years serving the Magic City. Or, you know, the trailhead, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The budget process that...
The Magic City and the Treasure State.
The Treasure State, Magic City, Oro de Plata. What else?
Yeah.
Not a lot going on. A lot of summer events going on. Kevin Niflin's the new assistant city administrator. I think we went over that.
Yeah.
Zimmerman Trail is shut down till November.
That's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's a huge pain in the ass if you're coming from the west of town into downtown.
Mm-hmm.
For damn sure. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they should have like a train. You know, that should...
A light rail?
A light rail of some sort.
It's also a huge pain in the ass if you're trying to go to Acton.
Is it? Oh, that's right. So you have to go up 27th.
Go all the way down to 27th. Or apparently you can go on Shorey Road, which I've never done.
Oh, you've never done Shorey Road?
Nope.
Hmm.
For the listeners at home, we're talking about stuff that you can't see.
Nope. Shorey Road is a road in Billings, Montana. Actually, it would be in... No, it would be Billings still, wouldn't it?
Probably. I don't know where the hell it is. Oh, most recent Friday packet shows air service update terminal expansion.
Oh, man, that was a good one. Jesus Christ, $40 million of 3D walkthroughs and...
Yeah.
Fucking United flights coming from Mars.
That'll be nice.
It really will be nice.
Well, that's how they get those children up there to that slave camp that Alex Jones talks about all the time.
There was a slave camp at the airport?
No, on Mars.
Oh, on Mars.
Yeah. He says
has he gone off the rails? Has he completely gone off the rails?
Oh, my God, he hasn't seen a rail in fucking 10 years. But, no, he did say, that was like a year and a half ago, he was talking about, like, the child sex slaves on Mars.
I just remember the EDM song that he did, or someone made of him doing really Turning good. The Frogs Gay, yeah. That one.
Yep.
Turn the freaking frogs gay.
Oh, man, this is a lot of 3D renderings of what it looks like inside.
Yeah, no shit. And look how they put it in there. They put, like, there's...
It's just screenshots.
It's a screenshot. So I'm waiting for someone to have some sort of... Something in the bottom bookmark that's not supposed to
just
be there.
Just a tab open. Oh, man.
It's like imgur.com or...
Dude, I think they just took a picture of every airport in the world and took out any color and just called it...
Yep, what it is basically... I don't know. It's just one big long corridor from east to west.
Yeah.
With
like 700 chairs.
A lot of chairs. There's a holding area.
Oh, God. Of course there is.
Also in that packet, which was, I believe, discussed on Monday of this week, that was the evidence locker update as well.
Yeah.
Which seems like it's really needed.
Yeah, you think?
There's a lot of shit in there.
Put some cots in there.
Yep.
Look at that.
Questions? There it is, the old Google questions. I don't know. $40 million, that seems like more than $39 million.
It might be. Yeah, PD2 Evidence Facility, 4845 Midland Road. I shouldn't have given that address out. Now people are going to just go there and have sex and steal drugs.
Steal shit and do drugs? That's a good band. If you're looking for a good band to listen to, go to
Who isn't?
Steal shit and do drugs. They're out of Seattle, where I just was.
There's a shitload of stolen bikes in this evidence locker.
There is.
There's refrigerators. Oh, of course there are.
Right.
That makes sense. Currently, the facility has 7 refrigerators spread throughout the facility to store biological evidence with no backup system in place.
Ooh.
Dude.
Let's talk about swift justice.
Oh. Vehicle processing and storage. That's interesting. Yeah, you know.
This needs to be brought into the 21st century.
I mean.
But this one's pretty new, though. It's out on Midland, so where everything else is get serviced, all the city vehicles, right? And
yeah, it's right across the road from that stuff. But it's just a pole barn with like a chain link fence around it.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of secure entrances into it. What I read into it.
Yeah, no, you just walk in the door, and there's like a screen door that the guy comes and unlatches for you.
It's basically like if you went to Oz, you just walk up to the door, you knock on it, and some guy sticks his head out. Like, what do you want?
Hello?
I'm here for evidence. Come on in!
We got a lot of it here. Hey, I was just looking at my email, and that reminded me.
Yeah? Did we get an email from a viewer?
No.
A listen?
Well, I don't know.
Listener?
I haven't checked. Maybe. Why do you bring this up now? I don't
know.
Come on.
Because if they did have a question, where would they send that question to?
You know, that's a good question, Stocky.
You know, a correction or, you know, if you just want to rant.
So, Stocky.
Yep.
if our listeners have any questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, commentary, or cajoling,
yep,
they can email us
at
thefridaypacket@gmail.com.
Yep. And
one more time! thefridaypacket@gmail.com.
And also, I don't know, that's probably news to you, but we also have a website too. So if you go to thefridaypacket.com or fridaypacket.com, you can...
We have two. We have a redirect.
Well, it just all redirects to the same thing. But we've got a biography page and all our show listings on that as well.
Well, son of a gun.
Yep.
Oh my God, I'm having a second fruit roll-up. Why would I do this to myself?
It's a gateway roll-up.
Yeah.
First one.
Oh, not even once, Stocky.
Not even once. Have we got any emails?
No.
No?
No.
Jeez. Oh,
I have listened
to... So you've gotten everything right to this point, this is.
I think so.
That's what we're getting.
Yep.
Gotcha.
That's all I can figure out.
Awesome.
Friday Packet with Stocky and Stout. Oh, look at that beautiful picture of Billings.
There is a nice picture of Billings there. Uh-huh. And that came off of your Facebook feed because it's public domain.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if you're setting up a website, you can't have any sort of pic. Nah, it doesn't matter.
What about a picture you've taken yourself?
Yeah, if you take the picture yourself and publicly post it on Facebook, Reddit, Tumblr, fucking Grindr. Who knows what else?
All of those.
It's all public domain at that point, so we can use it.
We have show notes.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yep.
About us. Oh, I'm excited.
We exist on the internet. what else you got for this episode on TIFF? What do you think? Have we hit all the high points?
I think so. I think we even may have hit a low point or two.
Probably.
I love your your picture.
Oh, the clam hat? Yep. I believe that was my 31st or 32nd birthday.
At Uber Brew?
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah, it really was. So Liz, who now lives in Beaumont, working for Exxon, she got me the clam hat. That was a birthday present that I wore out in public.
It's a good clam hat.
Like an ass hat.
So I'm naked and you've got a clam hat.
Yep. I think we hit it all.
Probably.
All right.
Had some laughs, killed some time.
Meet you at the trailer.